Larry Korb is a senior fellow with the Center for American Progress. He says the U.S. embassy in Libya was attacked as retribution for the Obama administration's killing of al-Qaeda's number two man. He speaks with WBAI's Linda Perry.
After the Arab Spring, and you had the transition to governments in Tunisia, Libya, and Egypt, there were a lot of people in each of those countries who were not happy with the outcome. And their main concern is that these new rulers in Libya, Egypt, and Tunisia are not strongly enough pro-Muslim. In other words, they're looking for a state modeled on Iran rather than, say, for example, Turkey. And they've been unhappy. And then, of course, with this video, it's given them an excuse to rally people who ordinarily wouldn't be supportive of them, but are so upset with this horrible video that basically they're able to say, see, this is what happens when you elect these quote-unquote moderates, and they're in league with the United States, and look what the United States, you know, does, you know, has done, you know, for example, invading Iraq. And so therefore, it's time for us to take matters into our own hands by going after the American embassy.
Now, there was a report last night from The Independent, which has been widely shared over social media networks, that the attack in Benghazi on the embassy there was a planned attack. It wasn't the result of the anti-Islam film, that papers, missing papers, included a list of Libyans working with Americans, and others. Other papers were taken which related to oil contracts. And that Americans had known that there was a possibility of these attacks.
Well, there's no doubt about the fact that any time you have something happen like this, there have been warnings. If you are the president and the secretary of state or secretary of defense, you have to basically, you know, balance these off. And if this intelligence was, you know, reasonably accurate, they should have, you know, warned people to be more careful. And particularly with our ambassador, to allow him to leave Tripoli to go to Benghazi.
So that the film was really not the reason for the bombing of the Libyan embassy?
No, it gave an excuse for some people to join with this. I think when the history of what happened in Libya, they were very upset that the United States and the Obama administration had killed al-Qaeda's number two, Libby. And this was, they saw this as, you know, an affront. And bin Laden's successor, al-Zawahiri, he had told people, well, you know, we have to react against that. And in Libya, unfortunately, because of the civil war, there's still people have a lot of weapons. You notice they don't in Egypt because the military was in charge of the transition.
So what's going to happen now? Can you talk about how this is spreading? The German embassy in Sudan was under attack. The U.S. embassy in Tunis under attack. There's protests in Yemen, in Lebanon, in Iraq. What do you think is going to happen now?
Well, I think the real key, and I commend President Morsi of Egypt for finally coming out and denouncing the violence. That's going to be the key. I mean, I think the Libyan government has acted very responsibly. They denounced it. They, you know, said that we owe the Americans, and they've apprehended at least four of the people responsible for this. I think that's the key, because if these governments give any indication that they sympathize with these protesters, that will only, you know, fuel it. And you may remember the whole Arab Spring started with Tunisia, then it spread to Egypt, and then Libya, and then, you know, eventually to Syria, and almost went to Jordan.
Yeah, of course. And so talk about their anger there. There was this deep-seated anger. People didn't have enough money to buy food. That's what was going on in Tunisia at the time. And it was the impetus for Arab Spring spreading throughout the Middle East. So what's your sense of how people are doing, how the citizens there are doing?
Well, that's why the whole Arab Spring started. It had nothing to do with the United States or anti-Americanism. Basically, you had regimes in those countries, authoritarian regimes, that were taking care of themselves and their supporters rather than the ordinary people. And in other words, in terms of educational opportunities, in terms of economic opportunities, and this was, you know, kept under wraps by very, very strong authoritarian governments. And that's what led to it, and that's what happened. But we're in the second phase now. You've gotten rid of the Tunisian leaders. You got rid of Mubarak. You got rid of Gaddafi. Now the question becomes, what kind of state are we going to have, and can we develop the civil society that will enable us to exist when we don't get what we want through the, you know, through the ballot box? This is going to be a generational type of situation where these people have to make decisions about what, you know, how they're going to rule themselves. And there's bound to be people unhappy. You know, you have a revolution, we get rid of Mubarak, everything's going to be wonderful. The economy in Egypt is actually worse because there's less tourism, which they used to get an awful lot of income now because people don't want to go because of the uncertainty and the violence.
So one of the factors in all of this is the economic downturn.
Well, there's no doubt about it. I mean, they're affected by the economic downturn, and that's why I think people who are saying, well, we should cut off aid to, you know, Egypt because of this, or, you know, cutting off their nose to spite their face, because if we don't give them aid, then it's going to be, you know, to help those people come out of, you know, their dire economic circumstances. And we forget that it's a global economy now. The downturn has not just affected us, but it's affected, you know, the whole world.
And also, isn't another factor that they really don't see any kind of change that resulted from the Arab Spring personally? Their positions, the way that they're living really hasn't changed.
Well, that's certainly correct. I mean, and that's part of the problem. When you have a revolution, you think, well, once it's over, everything's going to be wonderful, all the problems we had to deal with. And these are generational things. I mean, even if Morsi was the second coming of George Washington, he couldn't deal with all of these problems, as I mentioned, because of the turmoil. Egypt's economy is even worse than it would have been with the global economic downturn because of the fact that tourism, which was a very big part of their income, is down. People are afraid to go there and take cruises on the Nile. So when people look around, they say, well, gee, things are not better. So when they hear, you know, some group says, well, we got to get rid of Morsi, or let's blame it on the Americans, it becomes very convenient to blame it on the Americans because we're so powerful.
And what can the U.S. do to stem the crisis there?
Well, I think what we can do is help those countries build their civil societies. And it's going to be a long-term process, but that's what we really need to do.
I'm curious about why the mainstream media is really saying that it's the anti-Islam film that's sparking all of this.
Well, it's just like in Tunisia when that young man burned himself to death.
Right.
That became an incident. And what happens is when you have an incident like this, in which, you know, these people take their religion and the Prophet Muhammad much more seriously than we do to, you know, the Jesus or Moses. Mm-hmm. And so when that happened, that got people angry, and then all these other things that they felt, you know, came to the surface, and then people who did not like the current situation used that as a pretext. I mean, for example, in Libya, they were really not that concerned about the film, but when it happened, that became a pretext. And the same way in Egypt, people were unhappy, particularly the hardline, you know, Muslims were unhappy that Morsi wasn't, in their view, you know, pro-Islam enough. So then they were able to use that. And then, of course, given our long, you know, given the things we've done, propping up people like Mubarak, invading a Muslim country like Iraq for no good reason, and some of the unfortunate things that have happened in Afghanistan, the burning of the Korans and things like that, then people can, you know, be susceptible to these arguments.
And what about the election cycle? What about Obama moving warships outside Libya? What about moving Marines into Tripoli?
This will help, you know, unfortunately, I mean, it's, we wish this didn't happen, but it will help Obama because the Republicans normally have run as the party of strong defense, whereas the Democrats have focused more on social issues. And so if you look at the opinion polls right now, people may not like Obama on the economy, but they think he's been a good commander-in-chief. And I think this will enhance his standing. Okay, something happened. He sent in the Marines. He moved, you know, the Navy ships off the coast. He didn't just do nothing.
And he called Morsi right away.
He got Morsi to change his mind because Morsi did not condemn the attacks right away.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I think it will help. And unfortunately, you know, I worked for President Reagan. I remember the 1980 campaign after the horrible, you know, the attempt to rescue the hostages failed. President Reagan and soon to be Vice President Bush said, this is not a time to, you know, to complain. This is the time for all of us to pull together. And I think Romney, by overreacting the way he did, undermined his own credibility.
Larry Korb is Senior Fellow at the Center for American Progress. He spoke with WBAI's Linda Perry.